Good morning, church. I welcome once again. This morning I want to talk about something that we all, as Christians, will go through. In fact, are always usually going through one fight or another in our lives. And this morning I want to talk about fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 tells us to fight the good fight of faith. And you know, all of the things that we learn and are told about our Christian life and our Christian walk, this is the one thing, I guess, that we really need to understand and not be ignorant in, and that is how to fight the good fight of faith. The first thing I want to talk about is, where does the battle take place? Where does this fight take place? It takes place in our minds. We are not fighting devils, as some people think. And nor are we fighting with God to convince him to bless us with whatever we need. Sometimes we get this idea that we're trying to get God to move on our behalf, and our prayers and our whatever fastings and diligence is trying to get God to move. But we're not trying to get God to move. That's not the fight of faith, nor is it fighting devils. The fight is in our minds, and we are really fighting to believe the word of God rather than our circumstances. And we are really fighting to enter into God's rest. That's what we're doing. We're fighting to be at rest. Now, when I refer to fighting to enter the rest of God, I am only referring to entering into the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, where everything that you or I could possibly ever need or even desire was freely given us. But as long as we are fighting yet to obtain anything from God, we are not in that rest, right? And more than anything, I know and you know we need to remain in his rest, because that's where the provision lies, in his rest. Now I want us to go this morning, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to begin in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I want you to first of all notice, remember we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. It does not say be strong in your faith. It does not say be strong in your faith. It says be strong in him, in the Lord. When we are in a fight, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our faith even, and onto him. And I think that's where we mess up a lot in our Christian walk. As soon as we're up against something, we're examining ourselves to see if we have the faith. And when we know I haven't got the faith, we falter, we fail, we forget that it's him. We need to get our eyes off of our own faith and onto him, because he is your faith. He is your strength. And when we put our eyes on ourselves, we feel weak. And you have to always remember that faith is only your response to him. It's not who you are. It's not how big you are. It's him. Faith is your response to how big he is, or how strong he is. Verse 11 tells us then to put on God's whole armor, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now the word wiles means the word craftiness. Put on God's armor that we might be able to stand up against the craftiness of the enemy. I've already said that we are not fighting with devils, But verse 12 tells us that we are wrestling against principalities. I didn't say with, I said against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, question. If Satan has already been put down under our feet, if he is no longer has any power over you or over me, where is the wrestling match? Why are we still wrestling with him? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, we've done a teaching on that a long time ago, as a roaring lion. Aren't you glad it said that he's not a roaring lion? It says he's like, he's pretending, he's roaring. But he's not a lion. He is totally powerless. He has been defeated forever. He's been defeated, but he will roar all day long. What is he roaring? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 12 says this, "The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass." And then again in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2, it says, "The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion." So he is roaring at us all day long as a lion. What is he roaring? Well, we just read it. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion. What is he roaring at you? Condemnation. You're not good enough. God isn't going to bless you. He's roaring all day long. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He roars at you and accuses you. Accuses you, not before God, because in God's eyes you're innocent, but accuses you before you. And then you have to make a decision whether what he's saying is the truth, right? So this explains what he is roaring. He's roaring condemnation. He is lying to you about the king, Jesus, and how Jesus sees you. And so through his lies, he tries to get you to get your eyes off of Jesus, who is the truth, and onto yourself, or onto your own weakness. He tries to get us to believe a lie. And this is the battle that continues to go on, and this battle is in your minds. This is the fight of faith. God's word will say one thing, and yet our minds are being bombarded with lies. Lies about the storm that you are in. I don't care what storm it is. It might be pain. It might be financial difficulty. He lies to you. It can be any curse that can come upon us, any calamity. And he will lie to you. And he will use those things to get us to believe his lies. He will intensify the situation through his lies. So the Bible tells us to take and put on the armor of God so we can withstand his craftiness in the evil day. Aren't you glad they said day? And having done all, stand. The word stand simply means to continue, to hold up, or really to hold your ground. Verse 14, the first thing you must have to stand or hold your ground is the truth. What does it say in Ephesians 6, 14? Are we there? No, we're still in 1 Peter. The first thing you must have to stand or hold your ground is the what? The truth, the belt of truth. I'm going to go there. I haven't even got my Bible open in Ephesians 6. I guess I should. Sorry. Okay. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Okay, the first thing you must have to stand or hold your ground is the truth. Without the truth, you have nothing to stand on. Right? That makes sense. Your strength to stand is the truth. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, it's by the word. When you shake it all up at the end of the day, it's because his word said so and no other reason. So the truth is the strength to stand. And even if you check out that word loins, where it says having your loins girt about with truth, the word loins actually means to procreate. The word loins, if you look it up, it means procreative power. Procreative power. So the truth that you know, gird yourself with that truth, that is your procreative power. It is the procreative power of God. God created all things by his word. Amen. And it is this word of truth with the creative power that will deliver you. And who is this word of truth? It is Jesus. Secondly, verse 14, put on your breastplate of righteousness. In other words, cover your heart with righteousness. Now, if righteousness was earned, then none of us would be able to put it on. But righteousness is a gift to us that we need to put on. Then in verse 15, it tells us to put on our gospel shoes. In other words, walk according to the truth of the gospel of peace. And above all, verse 16, here we have the faith. Take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. What is a shield in the natural? It's something that protects you, right? Take the shield of faith. How do we take the shield of faith? It's really just to believe his word over our circumstances and to speak it. That is our shield of faith. Believe, I have believed, therefore I speak. And protect your mind, verse 17, be at rest in your salvation, the salvation of your whole being. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer in the Spirit. That's the armor of God. Now, after we look through all of this, sometimes we can get very discouraged. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes we get very discouraged because we don't feel like we're measuring up to any of these things, as I can very well say so. I mean, it takes someone who's standing strong, holding their ground in the word, got the two-edged sword in their hand, the breastplate of righteousness. And we can sometimes look at that and back away and feel, wow, I'm never going to get anything. I'm never going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil because I'm not there. So I don't, and I believe that over the years, the church has been making faith and walking by faith out to be something that it really is not, way harder than it really is. Now, this man that's being described is God's man of faith. Yes. Don't get me wrong. God wants us all to be there where we're strong. We're covered in the robe of righteousness and we're standing in the truth. And I mean, we're just ready to slay the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. We've got our helmets securely fastened on our heads. But the problem is most of us aren't there. So what about, what is that? Where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Do we walk away and say, well, I haven't got that kind of faith. I'm sorry, I can't. Can't go there. So we're told that if this isn't the kind of faith that you have, then it will be impossible for you to receive from God. And I know that God wants you and I to have this perfect faith, this strong faith. But even if you don't, God is faithful. He's very faithful. Even if your faith, the Bible says, is as small as a grain of mustard seed, and you cannot say a thing except the name of Jesus, He's not going to let you down. That's enough. He's not going to let you go. The Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? Sometimes that's all you can do. Just call his name. You have no strength. You don't feel righteous. You feel like you're going down. And all you got left is say, Jesus, help. And the Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all God needs. Now, the word saved in the scripture is found, this word is found in Acts chapter 2, 21. That's where the scripture is found. And the word saved is actually sozo. We use this scripture when we talk to people about entering into the kingdom of God. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that word saved there is actually sozo, and it means safe. It means to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well and make whole. That's what that word means. So whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We all are going to have to go through fights of faith. But no matter where we are at in our faith, God is always gracious. It's not how great your faith is. It's how great your God is. And he will use what you have to deliver you. Turn to Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8. And turn to verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus, or he, went into a ship with his disciples. And he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forward. Now, I want to use this story, and I want to show you this story as the Lord showed it to me. As each one of our lives, as we walk by faith, I see the ship as being symbolic of our faith, because we are to live by faith. We are to, the just are to live by faith. Jesus said, let's get in the ship, and the ship, by this ship, or by a ship, let's go to the other side. So I see the ship as symbolic of our faith. By the ship, they were to go to the other side. And it's by faith that God's word will come to pass. It's by faith that we are to go to the other side in this life. Verse 23, as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep in the ship. Now here is a picture of Jesus at perfect rest. He already spoke the word, we're going to the other side. And Jesus doesn't doubt his own word. And so he falls asleep in the ship. Verse 23. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake of significant proportion. And the ship was filled with water and they were in jeopardy. They were in a very dangerous situation. Verse 24, and they came to Jesus and they awoke him and said, Master, Master, we're going to perish. Or we're going to die. Jesus, what does he do then? He arises, he rebukes the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased and there was a calm. And then Jesus looked at them and said, where is your faith? Now, there's a couple of things I want to bring out of this. Jesus was resting. Now, best case scenario, he would have wanted his disciples to rest with him. But they didn't, did they? They got their eyes on the storm. Jesus is sleeping peacefully in the boat. And, you know, one thing you got to remember, if Jesus is in your ship, you aren't going down. That ship couldn't have gone down. But even so, what would have been Jesus' best for them? He would have wanted them to stand up and rebuke the storm. But they were riddled with fear. All they could think about is, we're dying. Until they cried unto Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? We're dying here. And Jesus gets up and he immediately calms the raging sea. And the storm comes to complete stop. Now that's a picture of us. Many times we're in this ship and the sea is raging all around us. And we think, we're going down. This is it. We're going down. But they just called upon his name and he delivered them instantly. They just called upon his name. And I think the church needs to hear that. I think the church needs to hear that no matter what, Jesus will deliver you. It's great if we have this great big faith. But you know what? God can use even a little bit of a faith, even a mustard seed. Because many times when we hear the word of faith and we hear faith preached, many walk away thinking, there's no way. We just haven't got that kind of faith. I don't know that much of the word. But you just need to know a little bit of the word. And God will use what you have. Even when we think our faith is going under, you need to remember he's in your boat. He is in your faith. And if you go down, he's going to go down too. And all we have to do is call upon his name and he will save you. He will calm your storm and he will take you to the other side. So we can never boast in our great faith. No, we need to boast only in our great God. And Jesus does want us to be strong in our own faith. But even when we are not, he will not let you go. He will bear you up with his right hand of righteousness. He will see you to the other side. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 that when the enemy comes in like a flood, how many of us would say that those disciples that were going to the other side and the waves and the water and started coming into the boat, how many of us would say that the enemy was coming in like a flood? And many times in our lives, the enemy is going to come in like a flood. And it's going to be overwhelming, startling, alarming. What does it promise us there? When the enemy comes in like a flood, what did Jesus do? He stood up and he said, peace, be still. And he calmed the waves. Here it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit lifts up a standard against him. What does the word standard mean? It means he makes it, puts it to flight, makes them to flee. The Spirit of God will lift up a standard in your life. When the enemy comes in like a flood and seems to be overwhelming you, cry unto him and he will be there quickly to protect you, to deliver you, and set you back on dry land. Amen? Amen. So for today, we're going to close in that. We're just going to pray. And I just believe that what the Lord wanted me to impress this morning on all of us was that don't ever despair in your faith. Don't ever walk away and think that your faith is too little. And don't ever boast in your big faith either. Because none of us really knows until we go through a storm. And so let's just remember it's all Jesus. Let's keep our eyes focused on him. Even though we may be going through a battle, we need to remember he is faithful. It's not about your faith. It's about his faithfulness. And if we keep our eyes on his faithfulness and just call upon him, he will carry us through to where we need to be. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you.